You're listening to Feathers, a podcast of stories about God speaking and his people having just enough faith to believe him and obey. I hope these stories inspire you and encourage you to take flight in your own faith. I'm your host, Amy Bennett, and this is Season 5, Episode 11. Well, hey guys, and welcome to Feathers This Week. I am so glad to have you here. Today is actually going to be the last episode before our Christmas break. Last week, I talked about at the end of the episode that I wasn't really sure how long of a break that we were going to be taking. And I had hoped to get out one more episode and take just a 2-week break. But we had some scheduling snafus this week, so we're going to go ahead and make this the last one of 2016. But do not worry, we will be back January 3rd. I already have 3 or 4 recorded podcasts that need to go in January for the new year. So do not worry, we will be back January 3rd. And while we are on the break, I hope you go back and listen to maybe some episodes that you have missed. There are so many good ones. I'm just so thankful for this year. I cannot believe we have gone through a whole year, a solid year, 2016, of the podcast. So thankful. So today I have Krista Hutchins. Krista is a married mom of 2 adult children from Louisiana. She works full-time as a project manager and also runs the Do a New Thing ministry. I have worked with Krista a few times and just love how God uniquely is using her talents in the online ministry space. If you're listening and you're trying to build any sort of blog or write a book or launch a speaking career, this is going to be right up your alley. But listen, I think you can apply a lot of her wisdom that she shares to almost any sort of thing that God might be calling you to. So don't let that scare you off. And we also at the end talk about the transition from 2016 to 2017 and how we can plan for that. So I think it's actually quite a fitting way to end the podcast this year. So let's go ahead and get to it. Here is my conversation with Krista. Well, hey, Krista, and welcome to Feathers today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited about being here.
Yeah, I'm excited too. I would love for you to start out and introduce yourself and your family to the people that are listening.
Okay, my name is Krista Hutchins, and I live in South Louisiana. I'm married to my husband of 26 years, and my husband Marty, and we have 2 kids, grown kids. My daughter Katie is married, and my son Drew is about to graduate from college, so we have a very delightfully empty nest, and my daughter is just about to give us our first grandchild in April. So we're very excited about that change in our family coming up.
Oh, that is so exciting. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. We can't wait. It's going to be fun. It's been a long time since a baby has been in the family. So we're really looking forward to it.
Yes. Yeah, so my sister just had her first baby 8 weeks ago, and he was actually just at my house. And it's so amazing. I forget how fast they grow, especially in the first couple of months. I mean, I just feel like he's, I don't know, exploding.
Yeah, I'm really thankful that she lives close by, so we'll be able to see him a lot. It'll be a little boy, so we're looking forward to seeing him a lot.
Oh, so much fun. Mm-hmm. Now, you and I were going to record, gosh, how many months ago? 4 months ago. Back in August, and that was the day of the flood. So how is that going? I'm down there.
It's going, it's better. So it was the area, we live in the town that was most affected by the flooding in Louisiana in August. And so, they said, I think 90% of the people in our town were impacted in some way, and 75% lost everything, including their homes, their vehicles. A lot of them lost their jobs because their places of employment were destroyed. And so many people that we know have had to completely gut their houses and lost all the contents of it, some with flood insurance, some without. My daughter and her husband, we had just only a week after we had found out that she was pregnant, the floods came, and they got just enough water in their house to have to replace all the floors and a little bit of drywall and cabinets and things. So they spent 3 months living here with us and have just recently moved back to their home. So that's nice for them, but there are still thousands of people who will not spend Christmas in their home, or if they are in their homes. They are with, you know, temporary countertops and, you know, no flooring, or still missing different pieces, because with that many places devastated, the you know, building supplies are back ordered and all those kind of things. So it's a very different and strange world here right now, but it's been amazing to see how our community has pulled together, how people have helped one another, loved one another, served one another. It's just been a really great time to see that happen, even under really difficult circumstances.
Oh my goodness. So 75% affected. So did a lot of people end up moving out of town, or?
Yes, my, you know, my daughter is a speech therapist in the schools, and she said at her school, they lost about 25% of the kids that go to school there. And,
oh, wow.
And so, you know, kids are, there's kids that are living, you know, in the next state over with grandma while their mom and dad rebuild the house. There's people who just sold their house flooded and gutted to flippers, you know, who are going to rebuild it. And they just took the money and left and went somewhere else. So there's all kinds of different circumstances that people are dealing with right now. And it's a very tender time for a lot of people.
Oh, my goodness. I did not realize that it was such an impact. So, you know, yeah. After the, with the media, you know, you hear about it for, you know, a couple of days, a week or something, and then it kind of goes on to the next thing. So
right, yeah. No, we've been living it every day here, and we've been thankful. You know, so many people have reached out and helped my daughter resupply her classroom and helped us while we had them here at the house. And so I'm really thankful for my local community and my online community who have really supported our family through this time.
Mm, that's so good to hear. Well, I don't think you told me, so tell me, because this is what we're going to talk about tonight. Tell me a little bit about your what you do for full-time work, and then a little bit about your ministry.
Well, I am a project manager for an engineering and construction company. And I work, you know, full time doing that. I have projects that are, you know, large projects with teams spread out in several offices across the world, actually. And so I have spent the last 25 years learning how to organize big projects, organize groups of people, and organize, you know, kind of take all these things that are very not very well defined and put systems and structure around them to accomplish really amazing things. And I'm really proud of what I've done as part of my career, and I really love what I do. And a few years ago, God began to lead me to use those same gifts and talents in a ministry-minded business, or maybe it's a business-minded ministry. Sometimes I'm not sure which of those it is. But to use those gifts and talents to serve women who have really big, huge, creative ideas that they want to use to impact the world for Christ, but they are not sure what to do next. Or they've gotten in the middle of trying to walk in that calling, and they've gotten stuck or overwhelmed and not sure where to go next. So I help them sort that out and provide some structure, some coaching, some training, and sometimes a bit of administrative support as well to help them get their hands around what God has called them to do.
Okay, so I would love for you to talk about that a little bit more, because I'm fascinated, one, because that you are still working full time.
Right.
you know, as a project manager, I know that I work with a lot of project managers. So I'm sort of, as a software developer at my full time job, mm-hmm. we have project managers, you know, that keep us all in line. And I know it's such a demanding job. having to deal. I always say, like, oh my gosh, I could never. The spreadsheets that you guys have for budgets is like incredible. Sometimes the project manager I'm working with currently, she'll share her screen with me, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I do not have that job.
Really, and that's the part I love.
Oh my gosh, it's so overwhelming for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm so curious how you transition, and it's not even a transition because you're still working full time, but how you began to use your gifts and talents in project management for ministry.
Well, it's probably started about 3 or 4 years ago, I guess, you know, about the time that my daughter got married and my son was going off to college. I was really praying about what God would have me do in this next season of life. I was had always served in my church in student ministry while my kids were in, you know, in the student ministry, and I would hung out with them and did a lot of mission trips and planned mission trips for them and led different events for them. So I had been using my kind of project management tools in my local church for a while. And as I began to pray about what God would have me do next in this next season, he led me to a Bible study with Proverbs 31 Online Ministries, which is very ironic because the first study I did with them was called I Used to Be So Organized by Glynis Whitwer. And so I started off in that study, just in the study. And then
okay,
the next...
so I have to ask. Sorry, so I have to ask, how is it that the project manager is interested in that study? Because I would think you're super organized.
Well, that's what most people think, and that's probably one of the most common misperceptions about me. I'm really great at organizing people and systems, and. Yeah, you know, just, you know, making plans and things like that. But I am personally one of the most unorganized people that you have ever known. I actually published a blog post today that where I admitted that I have 28,000 unread emails in my inbox.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'm just, I struggle with personal organization sometimes. And so that really drew me to that study. So I made it through that study as a participant, and then I volunteered after that to be a small group leader for P31 Online Bible Studies. And I just began to, you know, work within that organization under the leadership of Melissa Taylor, who is a fantastic leader and a student of leadership. It's been so amazing to watch how she's grown as a leader over the last 3 or 4 years, and the way she's poured into the OBS team members as a leader. And so, you know, so I began using, as I did, took on different tasks within that ministry, I began to use some of those skills behind the scenes. And so now I serve on the executive team for online Bible studies, doing a lot of the, like I said, behind the scenes things around volunteer applications and small group loading, getting people in groups and out of groups and that kind of thing. So, and I really love it. And through that time of working with Proverbs 31, I really enjoyed using what I know how to do in a different area of ministry than I had ever done it before. And so I just really began to pray about how could I continue to use that in other ways. I met several women through that who are amazing writers. They have fantastic blogs. They have a huge heart and for ministry, for hurting women. And they really want to grow that and do something with it that God's laid on their heart to do. But they get overwhelmed by all the different things and aren't sure what to do next. So, so God just led me to dive into this and see where I could help others kind of get their hands around what God's called them to do.
Mm. So what kind of services do you provide? And is it, I don't think you've said the name of it yet. Tell us.
Oh, do a new thing. So then you can find me at doanewthing.com. And so, you know, of course, it's based on the verse in Isaiah where he said that, you know, He would bring us through the wasteland and do a new thing in us. And so I hope to help women do new things with the thing that God has provided to them. So I do a few things. I do kind of coaching and counseling, not really counseling, but just kind of coaching and mentoring and problem solving. When people have kind of big hairy things that they're not sure what to do with or how to get from the idea to the actual execution of the idea, I help them develop that path from one place to the other, manage some of those projects for them. I've done some work on book launch teams and help people develop different pieces of their website, programs to increase their subscribers and things like that. I also have a course that I teach called More Than a Blog. I really feel like as especially writers and speakers, when they step out into ministry, they think, oh, I'm going to start a blog. And before you know it, there's so much that goes into a blog. They're so caught up with the actual technical parts of blogging and all the tasks that go with that, that they lose sight of the ministry that God laid on their heart to start with. And so the More Than a Blog course helps to frame up the ministry, starting with your purpose and then looking at five different areas of your ministry and where and reinforcing that your blog is only a piece of your ministry. It is not your ministry. It is a tool for your ministry to grow and to gain exposure. But for most people, the blog itself is not necessarily the ministry. So I want to help people understand how to use the blog as a tool rather than the blog as a tool that serves the ministry rather than the ministry trying to serve the blog. So that's the course, More Than a Blog.
Okay, yes. And so I've taken the course, so a little testimonial. Mm-hmm. This is not a commercial, but I do want to share. And one of the things that I did like so much about it is that you really start out with the foundation of your why. Like what are you really trying to accomplish? Because then everything filters through that. Like when you start to think about, do I need a podcast or as another tool or do I need a Twitter account or, do I need a newsletter? And you can begin to answer those questions with, well, what is your whole purpose? What is your why? Why are you doing this ministry? And I think that's so good that you really just pointed out that your blog is not your ministry, because I think a lot of people, including myself, can see it like that. Like everything right. is all about your blog. And I do think there is something to the fact that a blog can be a really great, I think Michael Hyatt calls it home base.
Right. It's the home base for your ministry, but it's not the purpose for most people. And I think, I really help want people to internalize that purpose. A lot of times we'll identify it so that we can create a nice tagline to put on our blog or on our business cards or on something other promotional material, and then just let it sit there and be a piece of our marketing plan. And I really try to help people take that purpose and use it as something that you really dig into every day. You use it as a filter for every decision that you make, because there's so many decisions you make that you need some kind of framework for making those decisions. And for me, it all starts with that purpose. Starting with that purpose gives you the framework for making all the decisions that you need to make.
Right, because as things begin to grow, you have offers. And I mean, I think I've even seen that with this podcast, right? Because people, say, I have a possible guest for you or, whatever. And I have to really often go back to, okay, what's the purpose? What's the purpose of the podcast? What are the listeners expecting to hear? And does that fit that? So you can always go back to that mission or the value, a lot of people call it, mission statement or value, right. or your focus, whatever, however right. you want to look at it.
Right.
So right. important.
Yeah.
Well, another thing, I know you and I have worked together on is this past fall when I recorded, my video-based Bible study, I had set a date. I had rented a place for off of Airbnb to do the filming. And so I had these couple days coming up that I had to get these video scripts written, and I was totally and completely overwhelmed. And I think I just totally brain dumped on you one day on a call.
And that was fun. I loved that day. It's one of my favorite things.
Well, I was just happy that somebody would finally listen to me. So, yeah, sometimes I have to pay people to listen to me.
Oh.
So, no, I'm just kidding. But, you really was able to take all of that and hand me back a very pretty, organized plan to get me to those dates. And it worked. I mean, I totally stuck to the plan and got to my date and was able to record it. I'm really excited for that to come out, but I'm so appreciative. And that, I mean, that's just really, you know, you get in the middle of it and you're just, because you're thinking about the content, you know, you're trying to think about what you're going to say, and it's like a whole other step to try to figure out the logistics of the whole day
and right
trying to and get there.
I really enjoyed doing that with you, and you did a fantastic job. I was so proud of you for staying on track. That's sometimes a struggle, just even once you have the plan, is staying on track with the plan. So you deserve big credit for staying on your plan. But you know, I laugh because I think you said at the time that all of your thoughts were like spaghetti noodles in your brain, and we just took them out and laid them out straight for you. And I love that. I feel like that's a good picture of what I do is, and as I told someone else, it's the difference in the way that my brain works than someone else's brain works, you know, where all those things are all scrambled up in your brain. And in my brain, they're all just little soldiers lined up one behind the other, you know, do this. So, you know, that's the way God wired us all differently to be creative in different ways. And so I'm enjoying using that ability to help people reach their goals and reach their dreams of what God's called them to do.
Mm-hmm. So important. So we had a little conversation before our call, and I think it was so good, and I want you to share where you really talk about how you balance you know, the fact that you do have a full-time job and then you have this work that you do as a ministry and really around expectations. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, yeah, there's a couple of things that I'm really starting to learn as I do this. And one is around expectations. You know, you can always go out on, if you go on Pinterest, you can find somebody who, you know, started their blog and had 10,000 subscribers in a month, or someone who is making, you know, six-figure income off their blog in 3 months, or anything like that. And those are true. I believe those stories are true, but I believe those are the exception rather than the rule. And so any kind of ministry or business or job or any endeavor, in most cases, it builds slowly. And I believe that God has given us all of the resources to do what he's called us to do. And I talk a lot about resources, and I kind of break them down into time, money, and knowledge. And so if God's called you to do a ministry, he's given you all the resources, including time, to do what he really is expecting you to do. And so if you don't feel like you're doing all that you need to do, then either your expectations are not lined up with God's, and we need to work on lining those expectations up and giving us permission to move at our own pace and not compared to someone else's pace. Or it could mean that you're doing things that God didn't call you to do, and we need to look at our schedule and the things that we're doing and find the things that we aren't supposed to be doing, because God's not going to call us to do something without giving us the resources to do it one way or another. So that's one thing I've really been learning about, balancing all this. And the other thing, I don't think we talked about this, but another thing I'm really working on lately is not balancing. Someone kind of introduced me to this topic last year that, you know, that balance is kind of a myth because it assumes that at all times everything is equal. And so, you know, you're putting equal effort and equal energy into everything at the same time. And that's just really not possible. And so when you begin to think of your time, your schedule, your resources in terms of a rhythm rather than a balance, then it begins to make a little bit more sense. And so, you know, there are times when in the rhythm of your life that certain things will take priority over others in different seasons. And that season may be measured in years, months, weeks, days, or hours, you know. And so that to be fully present and fully focused on whatever rhythm you're in at the moment so that that thing gets its due attention at that time. And then you move on as something else, as that thing wanes and something else begins to increase in rhythm, then you focus on that thing and not try to always be so split-minded and trying to balance everything and give everything equal attention at once. So that's just kind of a little bit different way to think about it that's really been resonating with me lately, and that I've used in some planning tools that I'm working on to maybe finally conquer some of those personal organization challenges that I have.
Oh, that's so good, because you think you want, well, I think part of it is, and I mean, this is just me, is wanting to be like 100% onto everything at all times.
Right.
Like, I want to be full-time in my ministry, and I want to be full-time, you know, in my job, and I'm full-time mom, you know, doing nothing else. And it really, and I think it's interesting with your perspective being an empty nester and just recognizing the different seasons you're in. And, like you said, it could be from, you know, years of seasons or even throughout your week. I remember when my first daughter was just born, and I was trying to figure out like her daily schedule, and I just felt like every day needed to be exactly the same. And there was going to be like two afternoons that one I think Wednesday afternoon my mom was going to get her, and then Fridays my mother-in-law was going to get her and take her. And I'm like, But, you know, that's going to mess up her, you know, her whole schedule, you know, it's not the same. And they were like, well, that is a schedule, you know, Wednesday she does your mom's and Friday she does your mother-in-law. And that's her schedule. You know, she has Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday that are the same, and Wednesday and Friday that are different. So it's not that they ought to be the same. Things can be consistent. And I like that, having a rhythm. So that's more like a rhythm than necessarily, you know,
a balance. Yeah.
That's good. Well, I'm just so curious, as you've worked with women, especially women who are really stepping out in faith to do these ministries, what would you say is something that's holding people back from really stepping into all that God has for them?
Well, I think that what I see the most is just the sense of being overwhelmed and being afraid to do the wrong thing. There's so much information out there, whether you're called to start some kind of local service ministry, or start a new program in your church, or, you know, write a book or blog or whatever it is that God called you to do. You can go out there and find so much information about how to do that. And a lot of the information is conflicting. And I think women especially sometimes have this feeling that there's a right way to do it. You know, we feel that way about mothering sometimes. And there's a right way to do it and there's a wrong way to do it. We feel that way about, you know, about parenting or even about our marriage or whatever. And I think so you're always out there looking for the right way to do it. And what you find is a lot of different information and a lot of conflicting information. And so I think the reason it's like that is because there's not a right way to do anything. I mean, there's some basic good practices, of course, but everybody's path is going to be different. And the thing that worked for one person who's doing something maybe even similar to what God's called you to do may be completely different than what's going to work for you. So again, it goes back to knowing your purpose and why God called you to do what he did, what special gifts and strengths he has for you and in for how you use them in that ministry, or in that calling or whatever you're stepping out to do, and being able to use that knowledge about yourself and your purpose to find the right path. And so I think that sense of overwhelm and being afraid to do the wrong thing really gets people paralyzed, because they have this great calling and really, Amy, there's been no better time to be a go-getter Jesus girl with a calling, because everybody out there, Lisa Turkhurst and Jen Hatmaker and Ann Voskamp, they're all out there encouraging women to step out in faith, to step out and make an impact in their world. And women are gravitating to that and answering that call. So it's a great time to be answering that call. But it also, I find that people, once they've answered the call, they're not sure what to do next, what next. And so I think that when they get overwhelmed with all the things that they could do next, and then they're afraid to do the next thing because they're afraid it's the wrong thing, then they just get paralyzed and they do nothing. And so that, that great calling that they were so passionate about and so excited about, kind of they push it aside because they're afraid to do the wrong thing. And so I think at some point after you've looked and gotten all the best information you can and made the right decision, the best decision you can make for what God's called you to do, then it's time to just take the step. Just do it. And, you're going to make mistakes. So whether you make mistakes by stepping out in faith, or you get everything perfectly lined up and just exactly how you want it to be and then step out, you're going to make mistakes then too. So you might as well just step out and learn from those mistakes. Don't view them as failures. View them as opportunities to learn how to do something, or to learn what works and what doesn't work. And to not get so wrapped up in making sure you're doing it exactly right, and not let all that information overwhelm you. Find the next step and take it, and be brave and bold in taking that step of faith. And because God's, like I said, God's not going to give you anything he hasn't prepared you to do in one way or another, or given you all the resources you need, or everything you need to do it. He's not going to call you to do something that he's not going to support you and get you able to do.
Yeah, I think that is so true. It's so overwhelming, especially when, so many people are doing like an online ministry and the blogging and all the technical stuff there are. And there's not, I have a technical background. There's not just a lot of times just one way to do things.
Right.
It's almost like an art, you have to kind of figure out, like you said, what works best for you and what you're trying to do. And I know I totally have gotten tripped up. With this even just launching this podcast at the beginning, I remember I'm like, I don't know, is my graphic right? Is the music right? Is the format right? And I remember somebody in a podcast group saying, and it wasn't even directed at me, she just put it out there, but I do believe that it was for me. She didn't know it though. But she said, you just need to launch. Just launch. If you get it out there and everybody hates, your graphic, well, change your graphic. You can change your graphic. You can change your music. You can change whatever. Just get it out there, and then you have that ability to learn. And I know I get so tripped up. Even doing this, launching my new ministry, I was just trying to learn a new email system, and I did get totally paralyzed for like a week and a half because I didn't know how to do it. And I was like, okay, I'm just not going to do anything. I don't want to mess anything up.
There's always help. There's always help out there for whatever you need. When it comes to technical stuff, especially, there's really generous people I have found, especially in the Christian community. Whether it's blogging, writing, or podcasting, or whatever, people are so generous with their time and their knowledge. And so we just need to reach out and ask for help. They want to support you. They want to encourage you. Just reach out and ask for the help that you need sorting it out and making it able for you to move forward.
Mm-hmm. And that's actually what I did with my email this past couple of weeks. I finally just emailed the support people, and they were like, right. Yeah, and do you want to do a phone call about it? I was like, oh, wow, they're being super helpful.
Yeah.
I was like, why did I wait this late, wait this long to ask for help? I think that's hard, too, you know, for some of us. We just want to figure it out on our own, you know? Like, you don't want to ask for help, like. I don't know.
Right.
Maybe it's just me that has a technical background, and I'm like, I should be able to do this.
Yeah, no, I know that. I know that feeling, too.
Yeah, but I think it's applicable even with non-technical stuff. You know, I mean, some people might want to start a business, and they don't even know how to do a business license, or they don't know how to, you know, do their taxes, or, I mean, I think there's so many different ways that can really trip us up, is that we can just get paralyzed by being overwhelmed when there's really people out there that are willing to help.
Yeah, I think too it's important to find you know, a group of people to help you that you trust. I think that's also a thing that I've seen a lot of trip a lot of people up, is, you know, because there is so much information and everybody's an expert at whatever they're talking about, of course, you know, it's easy to run from place to place to place to place to place to gather information. And that's not a bad thing to do when you're starting and trying to, you know, just kind of get the basics of what you're doing to try to see what the landscape is like, right? But eventually, I really advise people to find one or two experts, or maybe one expert in each little area that you need help with, and make that your go-to resource, because then you're going to get consistent advice. And it's someone that you trust, and it's someone that you, whose presentation you like. You know, I use the example of, Pinterest courses. You know, right now everybody, every blogger needs to be on Pinterest, which is, may or may not be true for you. But there's a million people who offer different Pinterest courses on how to, and the basic information is mostly the same. So you want to find someone whose style you connect with, who maybe, you know, whose values you connect with, and then just learn everything you can from that one person, instead of taking a drip from here, grab a little bite from there, and running all over to all those places. You can waste a lot of your time. And that is what causes some of the overwhelm and overload, and the decision making of having too much input. You know, get a group of trusted people, whether they're, you know, just experts you go to, and maybe you don't know them, but you use their resources, or that you develop a relationship with. You know, make that a smaller circle for really learning and digging in and getting help and support.
That's good. Well, I want to transition a little bit, because I know you are a planner. Mm-hmm. let's talk. We're wrapping up 2016, which is unbelievable. December 2016, as we're recording this, wrapping up 2016 and then looking forward to 2017. I'm so curious how you kind of plan for the new year. And I know you have something coming up at the end of this month to help people kind of do that. But I'm just curious if you could talk through a little bit some things to think that we need to be thinking about as we go into 2017.
Well, I do think, of course, it's important to look back. So whether it's, you know, looking back at statistics, or looking back at, you know, where you've come from or where you've been, as you're getting ready to move forward, to look back and know where you are. I read a quote recently from, I think, Francis Bacon is how you pronounce his name. He's a writer. And he talked about looking back, not for the purpose of, you know, congratulating yourself for all of your accomplishments, or for depressing yourself because you didn't accomplish what you wanted to, but looking back for the purpose of finding hints about how you should move forward. So not just, you know, you see a lot right now, you'll see a lot out on the internet of different types of planners where you can record, you know, all of your stats for the year for whatever you do, you know. And that's all good information to have, and you need to do that. But I really love this idea of doing that for the purpose of what can those things tell you, and what kind of hints can they give you about, you know, what did your audience respond to this year? Or what project did you do in your church that really brought people in? And what was it about that project or that, event that really appealed to people in your community so that you can then use that as clues to move forward. So I think that the looking back and looking forward, setting some goals are important things to do. And then the other thing that I think we need to do once we've looked back and we've planned is that we need to prepare. And preparing is all about, what do I need to do to make myself ready to do these things that I want to do? Do I need to take a course to learn something? Do I need to make more time in my schedule to be able to do this? Do I need to make some arrangements in my family to make sure that they're on board with this? What kind of things do I need to do to prepare to step into these things that I have planned? So those are the main things that I do. And like you said, we have an event near the end of the month called Pray, Plan, Prepare. It's a one-day virtual workshop that'll be hosted on my Facebook page, Do a New Thing Facebook page, where we'll start off with a Bible study because, you know, like I think you saw in the More Than a Blog course, the beginning of each module is a Bible study where we look at someone in the Bible who is applying these concepts that we're learning and how God strategically used planning. And in this case, we're going to look at Paul and how Paul strategically planned his ministry. And so we'll start off the day with praying and Bible study, and then the look back and the look forward and the preparing. And so there'll be some worksheets and some Bible study. There's a free version, and then there's a pro version if you want to get a little deeper into it during the day. But I just invite anyone to come and hang out with us that day, or maybe even get some local friends. I think that would be fun to get two or three local friends who are doing something similar to you, and you guys all be together while you pray, plan, and prepare. I would love to have people just join us on the Facebook page that day. December 27th is when we're doing it.
All right. That sounds like fun. Okay. So, Krista, thank you so much for spending time with me today. I just love to see how God has been using your unique talents to really shine the light on Christ and in the work that other women are doing as well. Tell us once again, if we want to get connected with you, how to do that.
You can go to the website, doanewthing.com. It has information about the courses and the blog and all that good stuff there. On my blog, I write weekly on the blog and try to provide a lot of both inspirational and motivational information and resources for women in ministry to help you be more productive and effective. So that's on the blog. You can also find my Facebook page under Do a New Thing. And you can email me, Krista@doanewthing.com. Are all good ways to reach me.
All right. Well, thanks again so much for being with me today.
Thank you so much for having me, Amy. It's been fun.
All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed that conversation. The first thing I wanted to point out is just how Krista is using her talents as a project manager to further the gospel. I mean, it can be a very behind the scenes, very practical role, but it is so important. You know, I talked about how she really, really did help me put the Bible study together. And you're never going to know that, you know, going through the Bible study is that I, you know, needed somebody to help me organize writing the scripts. But, you know, it's really a big part of it. I would never have gotten that done had she not helped. And, you know, you might be, you know, thinking that you don't have anything to offer. But, you know, there are all sorts of, you know, roles needed. I think about, you know, how God says that the church really is made of many parts and we all make up the body and we are all important no matter what skills you have. I mean, you might just be really good at sitting beside somebody when they're hurting. That's another thing that I'm not really great at, but it is so needed. I've actually been doing all kind of study. I don't know if you've seen the Enneagram, but it's another kind of personality type test. And I've just seen through that just how important our unique perspectives and our strengths are. And we really are different and just bring something totally different to the table. The second thing that really stuck out to me is really the you know, the idea of not wanting to go, move forward because you're scared to do the wrong thing. And it just really stuck out to me, especially because, you know, I mentioned my sister just had a baby and she was just, you know, really struggling about how to do mothering the right way, doing the right thing. And it was really paralyzing her. And so I know that this is a thing that's applicable, you know, past somebody that's in ministry or, you know, trying to step out. And, you know, some of you might just be stuck because you want it to be perfect or you want to make sure you're doing the right thing. And I know when we really have, you know, kind of faith involved in this and God, we're like, oh man, I don't want to, you know, disappoint God. I don't want to let him down. But really, it's okay to step out when you don't know exactly, maybe if you are doing the right or wrong thing. Is there a right thing? Is there a wrong thing? You know, it may be right for you and maybe wrong for somebody else. I mean, as long as we are seeking after God for whatever that next step is. And that's really the key, is that we really need to seek after God for that next step. And if you're not feeling, you know, something clear, maybe it's one of those things that just doesn't matter. And you should just do whatever you would like to do. So just encourage you to, another way people have said it is just ship it. You just get it out there, do the next thing, and then you can course correct if you need to. It's not a failure. It's just a learning. The other thing I think is really important to talk about is just expectations too. Just whatever season you're in, you know, if you are a young mom with young kids, you know, you can't, that is your ministry. That is the thing that's going to take all of your time at the moment. So just making sure that we have proper expectations. And I love Krista's viewpoint about that if God has called you to it, he will provide the right resources. And if it's not happening, then maybe it's your expectations that need to shift. And that so has been true in my life, and it may be true in your life today. All right, guys. So I wanted to say another thank you for listening, not just this week, but for all of 2016. We have had so many wonderful guests this year, and I hope you've enjoyed them. I have so enjoyed meeting you here every week. And we will be back January 3rd. So please make sure you're connected either on Facebook, or Instagram. I will be launching that new ministry site, Abiding Ministries. It's going to be the home, the new home of Feathers, and that's where our show notes will be. I'll be launching my new video-based Bible study, Rich, Discovering God's Abundance in and Through Your Life, when that launches. So I want you to be on the lookout for that come the new year. All right, guys, that is it for this week and for 2016. So we will see you next year on Feathers.